Welcome to this edition of Morgan You Asked For podcast. You get me again tonight, solo. We are on the eve of the NFL draft, one of Trevor's favorite times of year, but it just didn't work out this week as well. Sometimes that happens, and that's okay. So we're going to start with NFL draft. Again, this is not my number one thing, cup of tea. I do have a few thoughts, and you know, really one of the big things is just because I'm a Bears fan, and they have the number one pick for the second straight year. Last year, they did trade it to the Panthers, and they drafted Bryce Young, and then the Bears got this year's first-round pick, and it happened to be number one. And everything that's been said and done, they are all in on Caleb Williams, and they're not accepting any trades. They're going to draft him. Justin Fields is no longer on the team. And the coaches and the GM front office people are writing their careers or with the Bears on Caleb Williams. I think that's the right pick. He was a stud in college. He looks the part. He has all the physical tools. When the Bears drafted Justin Fields a few years ago, that was not my – I didn't think that was the guy they wanted. For some reason, I don't know what this is. Now, C.J. Stroud may come to prove this wrong, but Ohio State quarterbacks have not been successful in the NFL. I don't know why that is, but it has been and continues to be proven. And until C.J. Stroud last year becoming Rookie of the Year, it just kept happening and happening and happening. And unfortunately, Justin Fields is one of those. Lincoln Riley has coached several Heisman Trophy winners. Now, he did not have the season he wanted to last year, but Lincoln Riley knows how to coach quarterbacks, and for the most part, those quarterbacks have been relatively successful. Now, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, number one picks, Heisman Trophy winners, not maybe lived up to what they had number one pick, but they are still starters in the NFL and have went to playoffs with those teams, something Justin Fields has not done. So I'm going to do a little bit. Lincoln Riley knows what he's doing with recruits and coaching quarterbacks and transitioning to the NFL a little bit more successful than the Ohio State quarterbacks. The intriguing part of the draft is how many quarterbacks are actually going to go. You got Drake May, you got Jaden Daniels. Yeah, those could definitely be the top three. Then you've got J.J. McCarthy with probably top 10 guy. Then you got Bo Nix. You've got a Michael Penix. You got just lots of quarterbacks in a very quarterback heavy. And quarterback is the position that drives the NFL. Everybody's looking for their quarterback. We're going to find out who and if any of these guys are that person. Pretty sure the top three are all going to be quarterbacks. Interesting to see how far Marvin Harrison Jr. falls. There's many people that think he's the overall number one player. Now, he's not going to be the number one draft pick. He's not even going to be number two, probably not even number three, just because all those teams in those spots need a quarterback. New England, Washington, and Chicago. And it doesn't matter how good your receivers are if your quarterback can't lead your team and you don't have a quarterback in place. Patrick Mahomes is showing that. If you have the quarterback, then you can plug and play receivers. Now, you still want and need a number one. And if you have a stud, that's fine. But it's showing that, you know, you kind of have to do it, you know, the Chiefs way where they got the stud quarterback, pay him all the money, or you do it like the 49ers where I think they have a stud quarterback or at least a very above average quarterback in Brock Purdy and not have to pay him anything. And then you can have a stud team around him. And then you go to a team like the Vikings have a very, very good quarterback the last few years in Kirk Cousins. And then, you know, probably the best receiver in the league right now, Justin Jefferson, and they couldn't get anywhere because they're just paying too much money in those two guys, and you just can't have a team around them. So that's the difficulty of being a GM and front office in the NFL, is how do you allocate the dollars for each position to get the best team? And the Vikings had chosen, moved on, that Kirk Cousins was getting too much money for getting the team where it needed to be. Just a couple, you know, Iowa ties. Cooper DeJean, how high does he go? I would bet quite a bit of money there'll be a first-round draft pick. It's just how high. Can he go to 15 or is he a 20, 25? I would guess in those 10 picks, that's where he's going to go. Then the question is, where does he play? Will he be the first white cornerback to start since Jason Sehorn of the Giants? I think it's 20, 25 years ago. Be interesting to see. I mean, he is super athletic. He is, you know, be just here. And this always happens right before the draft. One, he got hurt. And two, they always just try to downplay. I heard someone say he's a little stiff or whatever. If he's stiff, you know, athletically, I want to see all these other guys that are playing cornerback. Iowa State has TJ Tampa, who is a cornerback. Kind of, you know, he's one of those iffy first rounders, really late first rounder, unless you find a team that really likes him. But most likely a second, possibly a third, you know, if things just kind of don't go his way. But overall, any team that's drafted in the first three rounds is expecting that player to come in and start or make a big contribution to that team. That's what, you know, first three round guys are expected to do. You know, and then there's really no secret what the Bears are going to do at number one, but I think it is a little bit interesting what they'll do at number nine, because that's the Bears pick this year is at nine. Are they going to take the best available player, one of the receivers, you know, one of the linemen, Jawalt, or one of those guys if they fall to him, to them? Or they've got enough draft capital that they've been able to acquire in a couple trades and everything that if they think they could get, you know, go up one or two spots if Marvin Harrison Jr. falls. So they just, you know, a whole string of quarterbacks go, they decide to take one of the linemen, maybe for some reason, one of the other receivers go before Harrison, which do you trade some of that capital that you've gained with some of the trades to get up and get the guy that you want at seven or eight instead of nine? Or do you trade down and get more capital if you like another guy two or three spots below that you think will still be there? That's why all those guys get paid a lot of money and their jobs are on the line each and every year and each and every draft. I think they stay at nine and to draft the best available player, one of those receivers, Neighbors, Harrison, or, you know, the lineman out at Notre Dame, if he's there. I'd really like them to draft him if he is available to them when they draft. And, you know, if Trev was here, we'd be talking about, you know, the future bets and how many quarterbacks, you know, all the different bets he's going to make for the NFL draft. And that's fine. That's not my cup of tea. One, I'm not even going to be watching the draft. I'm going to be at Zach Bryan tomorrow night in Des Moines with my daughter Paige watching that. Another intriguing thing that happened today in the NFL and the Bears specifically, me being a Bears fan, is they put out renditions of a new stadium, essentially replacing Soldier Field. And I think it's, you know, kind of moved down the lakeshore just a little bit. It's still right in that same area. And then they build this stadium, then they tear Soldier Field down and leave the columns and everything and make a park out of that area, which overall is a good idea. I mean, I like that idea. But that's just a tough area to get to and from games, I believe. You have to Uber or walk quite a ways or drive down there, and there's just not a lot of parking. And then in this renderings and everything, and maybe it'll develop, but the new thing with all these new stadiums is essentially having ballpark villages and malls and you know, bars, restaurants, entertainment venues, all right there. And I didn't see all that. Now, I think some of the reason is that area is owned by Chicago Parks. So I don't think they can probably turn all that into that. It has to kind of go back to park setting, which is what they showed some softball, baseball fields, probably some soccer fields, which would be great. But I just wonder what happened. You know, the Bears bought the old Arlington Heights dog track. I think it was a dog or horse track. I think actually it was a horse track that used to be there. And I think that was kind of their plan, was to build a stadium out there. And then they had a bunch of area to develop into, you know, using Chicago's damp example, but Wrigleyville, something like that, where there's just all kinds of stuff to do besides just the football stadium and availability to make money all year, not just on those 10 dates where you have your home football games. Then obviously when you build a new stadium in Chicago, it's going to most likely be domed, because what they're going to want anytime you build a new stadium is you'll get a Super Bowl within the first few years of that building being built. And obviously that's a big money maker for the city and the ownership group in that situation. Now, the big argument with all this is billionaire owners are wanting money from taxpayers to fund a lot of this. Chiefs went through this and it failed. And I'm thinking that's what happened in Arlington Heights, was somehow the taxing, whatever, there was not an agreement on what was happening there. So it looks like they're staying in Chicago, which overall is a good idea. I mean, I like that idea, but you do wish they could build that entertainment piece along with the stadium for, you know, when you go to Chicago for the weekend, you know, go to a game Sunday, but you get in there Friday night, stay at a hotel right down there, right with the stadium, and you go to the local bars or restaurants or music venues. And that's what people like I want. Not everybody. And I think that's what, I mean, I just use Wrigleyville as an example, and then Ballpark Village in St. Louis. And I know those are baseball areas, but Kansas City was kind of wanting to do that as well. And I think they'll probably still do something like that, because the Royals want to move pretty bad. And I think the Chiefs probably will just, you know, tear down Kauffman Stadium and then develop that area. But we'll see. They might all move to Kansas, and who knows. And then kind of ending here, not going to have a real long, you know, podcast tonight. Iowa State Cyclone basketball got another recruit, St. Mary's, Joshua Jefferson, great defender, exactly fits in, getting better on the offensive end. And this upcoming season for Cyclone basketball will be the biggest hype season probably in the history of the program. If you look at the way too early preseason stuff, and with the transfer portal additions, once I had him at number one, CBS, Gary Parrish today had him at number three. Pretty much a consensus top 10 and most top five team in the country. And I believe they're the only team with their top four returning scorers all coming back. No other team has that in the country, which is a true testament to the We Will Collective and the coaching staff. Because you kept your top four scorers, plus you added some really nice pieces that you needed, knowing that those top four scorers are coming back. So these guys coming in probably aren't going to come in and average 15. Probably 7-8 is what you need out of them. Lipsy's going to have 15. Gilbert's going to have 15 to 20. Curtis Jones is going to have 10 to 15. I mean, There's your bull. And then you want Milanovic to 15 to 20 a game. And then you want him to have that big night where, and all those guys can, but you want him to be able to go 15 to 20 every night. And then on the good nights, he's got 30 with his shooting prowess and his size. But they got all the pieces. They got bigger and they got more skilled. Now, the difference is the three post guys, Robert Jones, Hassan Ward, and Trey King, were all old, experienced, and you knew what you were going to get out of them. Maybe not a huge high ceiling, but their floor was not real low. The new guys they brought in, their ceiling is probably higher, a little more skilled, but they're not as old, they're not as big, and they've not played at this level, so their ceiling's probably a little bit lower, which is good and bad. Ceiling higher, floor lower. So, you know, but when you got your top four guys coming back in the guard play, you just get what you can out of the post. And then kind of another Iowa State thing here, 2025 football season will start in Ireland, Dublin, home of Guinness. So they're going to mix drinking Ames lagers, going to trade them out for Guinness for a week. Against Kansas State, which is one of their longtime rivals, well over 100 years in a row, I believe. And that is going to come to an end, unfortunately, I think, after the 25 season. They play them this year and next year. But I think in 26 or maybe 27, they will not play them for the first time in like 110 years, which is sad, but unfortunately just the reality in today's college environment. But that will be interesting. It's one of those, I'd love to go to that game. I'd love to go to Ireland, but just with being a teacher, that's just kind of a real bad time of year. It's right when school's starting. You know, if I go over there, I don't want to just fly over on a Tuesday, you know, on a Wednesday, Thursday, be there for 2 days and come right back. If I'm going to Europe, I want to be there a week, 10 days at least, preferably even longer than that. Obviously, with being a teacher, if I go in the summer, I can stay for 2-3 weeks and enjoy all that in, you know, the entire part of that world. I, you know, love to go to Ireland, Scotland, and then England. You know, my parents went on that trip before and they loved it. And I know they'd love to go back. Maybe my dad can talk my mom into going then. But we'll see. But that'll be fun. Cyclone fans will travel. Anybody that has the resources and the time, enjoy it. Go do it. You know, just, you know, it's just one of those, you never know what's going to happen. And I've, you know, as getting older, just in general, things and health, you know, you kind of think about it a little bit more. And, you know, if you have the time and you have the resources, go do things. Ross Peterson from KXNO, The Morning Rush, and he's a real estate agent as well, went on a 3-week walk, El Camino. It's a Catholic walk. And, you know, he's kind of had a rough year or whatever, just personally lost his mom, went through a divorce, things like that. And he said it was one of the best things he ever did. Obviously, he misses it. He's got a couple kids and things like that. And he misses everybody back home. But just, he needed to do it. It's self-reflection. He walked like 180 miles in 10 days, something like that. And, you know, just things like that. Experiences are better than things. And so if you have opportunities to go do things, go do it. Don't question it. Enjoy it, because you never know what's going to happen. And then last, with the Hawkeyes, Deacon Hill goes to the transfer portal. Now, this is an interesting thing. This is very rumor-ish, but there is a rumor out there that he went to the collective to ask more money, and that did not go over well with the collective or the coaching staff. You know, because there's people saying, well, did they ask him to leave and nudge him out? And if he actually went to the collective and ask for a little bit more money for not any reason, but just, I want more money. Like, you know, sometimes there's, hey, I've got this, and is there a way to get a little bit more so I can help pay for that? You know, family issues, things like that. I understand that. And that's probably a legitimate reason. But if he just was going more money because he thought he deserved more money, I don't know. Because he did not perform well last year when he was playing. And I heard his performances in spring ball weren't great. So it's just tough. I wish him well. Most likely he'll go down a level. I don't think he's a power five quarterback. Go down, play, go set some records at a lower level. And then the last thing for the Hawkeyes, they've still got to get down below the scholarship limit of 85. And that stuff does happen over time. Some of these kids are going to graduate, decide they're just done with football. Medical redshirts happen. And then unfortunately, just the reality in today's environment, coaches are going to have hard discussions with these kids. Hey, I don't know if you're ever going to play here, and I encourage you to go somewhere where maybe you can. I mean, you're not necessarily revoking their scholarship or anything, but you're just kind of telling them, hey, you're not playing here. And when you get in a second or third year in the program and you really have no sights on playing with today's transfer portal and always looking to somebody to come in, if you went 3 years and haven't played yet, it's probably time to move on. And I think, unfortunately, those conversations are happening more and more and coming out more public than they used to. Those conversations have always happened, but they're a little bit more back behind. Now, a couple things have changed. It used to be all these scholarships were one-year commitments every year, so you didn't have to honor them. Now, pretty sure most of these programs do have 3-4 year commitments to scholarships. And that's where you see these kids medically retire, where they can stay on scholarship, but yet they don't count against that 85 limit. They just can't play football anymore. Because universities have money to pay for the scholarships. It's just there still has to be that number to get to. So Iowa's still going to struggle to get under that. And then, you know, under getting under that, I do think they need to add a quarterback. I think Sullivan, his name, from Northwestern, went in the transfer portal about the same time Deacon Hill went into the portal. He was a kid that Lester, the new offensive coordinator, had recruited when he was the head coach at Western Michigan. So there was a previous relationship there, and that may be a possibility. And if you're a Hawk fan or just the Hawkeye program in general, you need someone that can come in and play, because Cade McNamara has been hurt. I'm pretty sure now this is two or maybe even three straight years where he has not finished a season. Because I know last year he couldn't do spring practice very well. And then obviously got hurt pretty early in the season in the, I think it was the fan practice or whatever, and this was never the same. And then obviously ended up, you know, having the season ender later in the year and not being able to do spring practice again. So track record of injury problems. So you got to have a quarterback ready to go. And last year they did not have a quarterback ready to go, unfortunately, for the Hawks. Fortunately, if you're not Hawks. Now, the issue is they still win 9, 10 games and get to Big Ten championship games. If they can get a quarterback to perform and continue to get better year after year, where can this Hawkeye team go? Unfortunately, they cannot. They do not have the Big Ten West to fall back on like they've had for years and years. All one league, bigger league, more teams, better teams have joined that conference. So it's going to be much more difficult to get to a Big Ten championship game than it's been the last 15 years. But with Phil Parker and that defense, they're always going to be in a game. And as long as they do not turn a ball over, they're going to have chances to win 9-10 games every year. That's the way Kirk Ferentz does it, and it's been successful for 25 years. And I don't see it going away anytime soon as long as he's the head coach. So again, this is about 25 minutes long, and that's about all the longer I'm sure you want to listen to me in a monologue situation. But again, thank you for listening. Rate, review, subscribe on Spotify or whatever podcast listener you listen to. Really helps the podcast off. And again, thanks for listening, and we'll talk again next week.